out! Oh, baby, what a play!
This is Jeff Fedotin with Believe in Chiefs on the Believe Network, Kansas City's number one sports podcast network, the only place with a show for every team in KC and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? On this week's show, former Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Joe Valerio and I examine the 53-man roster and also make some predictions for the season. Joe, the NFL used to have multiple cutdown days, but now there's just one. And the deadline to get to the 53-man roster, Tuesday the 29th at 3 p.m. Central Time. A darling of the preseason who looked good, so good, receiver Smith Marset, traded to the Panthers, along with a swap of conditional seventh. The Chiefs just didn't have room for him. They already have seven receivers. And then they're down to three running backs. Neither Prince nor LaMichael Perine made the active roster. Joe, any surprises among those that I mentioned or anything else that we've seen come through?
Not tremendous, the ones that you mentioned. I'm just wondering what's going to happen at quarterback.
Right.
You know, I don't know what their goal was with Shane. Get him back on the practice squad or you know, what it might look like. It's hard to tell, right? What's happening. The one that got me was Austin Reiter. You know, here's a guy that was, brought in to be a starter, you know, and just didn't work out, right? Sometimes it just doesn't work out. But I just thought that was an interesting one.
A guy who started in the Super Bowl, right? They're not the Super Bowl win over the Eagles, but the Super Bowl 54 over the 49ers. I mean, that's crazy to think that he goes from starting in that game to the, you know, on the street. So.
Yeah, he was a big free agent that they brought in, and I thought, man, that was a surprise to me. They got a lot of depth. Nick Allegretti has made great strides. They're deep at tackle, and I guess Creed is Creed, right? And if you got Nick backing him up,
right.
They just kind of figured that that's the way that they want to go. So that was an interesting one. He I don't know if he's a guy that might get picked up. I don't know. That's of all the players that I'm looking at on the players that as we're recording this right now that are waived, I'm thinking he probably, just has the best shot at getting picked up somewhere where they're really light at a certain position, which obviously at offensive line for him. That he might get picked up and make an impact, maybe the only one that I'm really looking at. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. You mentioned Shane, and it seemed like the narrative that he was running neck and neck with Blaine Gabbert, but they both looked really good for much of the preseason. I never bought it in the sense that you want an experienced guy. Gabbert's been a backup on. Super Bowl winning teams, that Bucs team, and started a lot of games. I mean, you want a guy who's starting the NFL, God forbid something happens to Mahomes. So I didn't really buy that. And then really in that last game, Shane did not play well. And that I think was the ultimate thing there. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he's back on the practice squad. I could see that. Was real surprised about Michael Perine. I thought that he was going to make the active roster, how well he looked, especially in that last game. So I'm surprised that didn't happen. A couple other interesting things. Danny Shelton, a former first-round pick with the Browns, had been having a good camp. I really thought he was going to make it. And then speaking of the Browns, the guy who won that last preseason game, blocked the which would have been the game-winning field goal of the Browns, Phil Hoskins, didn't make the team. And neither did Josh Kando. That he was a defensive end that never really quite made it or lived up maybe to his potential. So that didn't surprise me. Joe, I want your take on the Chiefs made a trade with the Raiders on Tuesday. I mean, what did you see that? What world is this? That we're making trades with the Raiders?
The unholy alliance that is the Chiefs Raiders. I think it just what it tells me is And listen, this is going to sound like a Chiefs homer comment, but I feel like it's almost like a slap in the face to the Raiders from the Chiefs in a good way for the Chiefs, right? In a good way, and not like a bad way, just like kind of saying like, look, you can take, you know, we'll send you a guy. You're never going to figure our team out. Like, we're not worried about sending you somebody who's going to give you some kind of trade secrets and be able to give you something that's going to give you an advantage when we play. Like, we feel that comfortable playing you that we're just going to trade you somebody, right? Like, that
totally, because like, that's not a threat anymore, right?
That's, yeah, like not even like with Derek Carr gone and all the turmoil they've been through over the last couple of years and how we've just had their number. Like, they weren't even that never would have happened in a Marty Schottenheimer era. If anything, we were the ones taking people, like, you know, when we brought Reggie McElroy, who was an offensive lineman, we brought him from the Raiders, Marcus Allen, Art Shell, greatest offensive lineman of the decades there, head coach of the Raiders, comes to the Chiefs. And I'll never forget the first time Art introduced, you know, himself to the team and Coach Schottenheimer introduced him to the team. He's like, well, guys, I just said to myself, if you can't beat them, join them. So that's what he said. That was his first, that was his opening salvo when he, you know, when he joined the Kansas City Chiefs from the Raiders. So yeah, I think there was a lot of one-way directional stuff coming to us back then, but I just think it's telling the Raiders, like, you know, we don't even see, like, you, I'm going to use your term, like, we don't even see you as a threat anymore.
It's crazy. And when I first saw that trade, Joe, I actually thought it was he's no longer with the team, but they drafted Cleveland Farrell, who was high in the first round, kind of a bad pick by the Raiders. He ended up, he was really kind of a bust. But it's not, it's Nate Farrell. So just to clarify, a lot of, who also plays defensive line, also on the interior. I mean, could that mean anything? I don't think that means anything on the Chris Jones front. I mean, I don't think this is the guy who could come close to replacing Chris Jones's impact. I think they just needed more bodies on defensive line. Do you agree?
Well, they probably knew that, maybe they just felt like, you know, with Phil Hoskins, they just felt like, you know, he was a guy that, like, they're just, you know, because they keep boards, Jeff. They keep boards. I mean, God, you know, it was so low tech when I was playing. It was basically little magnets with, you know, Croy labels, right? You punch labels, and they were on little strips, and they had all the positions and all the teams and who was ranked. And then they had like a ranking board, and it was literally all manual. Like, we weren't allowed in that room, like, as players, like in the personnel room. Like, and if you ever caught a glimpse of it, you know, you felt like you had seen, you know, you'd been to Fort Knox and saw, you know, the United States gold, you know, reserve. But, you know, probably on some board, they just figured, well, we can probably get more out of him than we would Phil Hoskins. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that was probably, Phil Hoskins probably was, he was probably the most worried. I don't think Chris Jones, it's not a Chris Jones issue. It was more of a Phil Hoskins issue when they did that trade.
Totally. I think that's a good point. Well, more on the roster and some, season predictions. But first, Bet Online is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. Bet Online continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games. Available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. Joe, the other noteworthy thing, while the Chiefs did trade Smith-Marset, man, the Chiefs are rostering 7 receivers. That's a lot of receivers, Joe. What's your thought on that?
Well, look, it's, you know, I think what they're probably doing is looking at data. Right. I mean, data is driving lots of decisions these days, and it's probably somewhere along the line they're thinking, you know what, when you look at the odds of players getting hurt, then, you know, it could be sort of like, let's just make that room deep. We don't know how Kadarius is going to do, because, you know, if he's fragile, you know, then we're down to 6. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm not wishing anything. I'm not trying to jinx anybody, but I'm just saying they're probably preparing for the fact that, you know, Kadarius Toney might not make it through the season, right? He hasn't proven that he can be as durable as a team would like him to be.
And so, another guy too, you wonder if like Justin Ross, who I'm, you know how excited I am about him, right, but a guy with that kind of injury history, maybe it's protection against him too, you know?
Yeah. And rather than like have to slim down to five or six and then go out and find somebody, let's make, they're probably weighing all the factors, right? Like, where can we slim down where we know we have durable guys that we can plug and play? Let's look at the, you know, let's look at where, you know, right. Cause right now, they're probably only going to carry two tight ends. So they're going to probably, you know, make a safety spot there. If they only carry two tight ends and they decide to part ways with Bell, then, you know, then they wouldn't have three. That could be a spot where they use it as almost like a receiver. So rather than saying three tight ends and six wide receivers, you add that number up, it's nine. Mm-hmm. Let's go with nine guys who can catch the ball, right? Other than Nick Allegretti, who, you know, we'll throw him in there as a lineman who can catch the ball. But
we'll make it 10. The wide receiver, I'm going to steal your joke.
Yeah, he's the wide receiver. But like, so, you know, but all kidding aside, like, you know, maybe they're just looking at lumps of positions and they're considering wide receiver and tight end as like one big happy family, and not really making that distinction. And then don't forget, we don't have a fullback either.
Yeah, that's a really good point about the fullback. And something else to remember, Joe, talking about like two tight ends. Traditionally, Andy Reid likes to often have two tight ends on the field at one time. That, you know, it's a different era that you can add 16 guys to the practice squad. So that gives them, you know, I'm sure there's going to be, whether it's Matt Bushman or someone else, that there'll be other options there to use. Joe, that, and probably the most significant news is the one who isn't, you know, who isn't big, no news on him today. Chris Jones continues to hold out. Joe, one thing I wanted to talk about is, you know, here as we follow kind of the Chiefs news, we kind of have this micro focus look, but I think Chiefs fans might not realize that Nick Bosa is also on side. So I think that just puts things in perspective a little bit, but that this is not so crazy. It's not the end of the world. Look, Chris Jones might be, I think if I had to play a game tomorrow and I had to pick a defensive tackle, I would pick Aaron Donald. Just, you know, his career is amazing. It's as decorated as any interior lineman ever. But I think if I had to pick a defensive tackle to build a team around, an interior one, I'd probably pick Chris Jones because he's younger. I think he's going to play longer. Donald's talked retirement stuff. Anyhow, my point being is that so Jones is arguably the best defensive tackle out there. Nick Bosa is arguably the best defensive end out there. So if misery loves company, or you know, it's just, this is not just a Chiefs thing. It's not, you know, other teams are dealing with it, and it's just kind of the way things work. And I thought that was worth kind of mentioning. Chiefs fans might be forgetting that.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I'm going to go back to the line that Tony Romo stole from me, and that is that, you know, September is the new preseason, and if the Chiefs are probably thinking, well, if we can get rolling through September and Chris Jones comes fresh and he comes 2-3 weeks into the season, which we all saw the tweet where he said, I can afford it, which, you know, we all had that luxury, right, that we could do that. Not show up for work and actually pay to not show up for work. You know, look, he's going to come in fresh. He's going to be fine. He knows how to play the game. The Chiefs will get ramped up 2-3-4 games in, even if it goes that long, then he just rolls right in, you know, and that's where the Chiefs will be rolling by then anyway. So, you know, this is what it is. I don't think as fans, we can't control it, right? We just got to watch it happen. And there's probably a lot of conversations going on, or maybe there's no conversations going on. I don't know, Jeff. Maybe they're not talking. Maybe they're in an impasse, and, you know, everybody's just, you know, they're you know, kind of getting a little frustrated, and you know, everybody's stubborn. The stubbornness is starting to kick in, and maybe they're just like, well, you know what, you know, let's set the precedent that if you think we can do it without you while you're under contract, then so be it. Keep paying the fine. Don't show up, and you know, you're under contract. The Chiefs haven't done, look, I get it. I'm not trying to take the Chiefs side here. I'm, you know, obviously a former player, and I always want the players to get as much as they can, because we all know how the short these careers really are in the grand scheme of things. But, you know, at the end of the day, the Chiefs haven't done anything wrong. He is under contract.
Mm-hmm.
And he signed a contract, and they're abiding by at least their part. Now, players will tell you that's BS, Joe, you know, no way. Like, you know, he deserves to rewrite his contract. He deserves the extension. He deserves more money. But at the end of the day, law is the law, and he signed a contract, and he's under it. So the Chiefs haven't done anything wrong. They're just kind of playing their cards. And,
right.
And
it's not like he's a free agent. He's due to make $20 million this year. The other thing I want to remind fans, too, is, you know, we've seen on social media how he said, oh, back in week 8 and all these stuff. Like, take all this with a grain of salt, because Chris Jones sometimes just posts crazy things on social media. You know, during his last contract negotiation, he was interacting with Le'Veon Bell and making it sound like, oh, he might pull Le'Veon Bell and hold out the entire year. Well, then he signed this 4-year, $80 million contract shortly thereafter. So sometimes he just posts weird stuff on social media. So you know, take it for what it's worth. Going to take a brief pause here. Joe, I also want to talk, any more thoughts about the rosters and Chris Jones before we kind of move to, you know, we're not that far away from the season. Our next pod's going to be previewing Lions, who we're going to maybe preview the NFL in a little bit more general terms.
Yeah, super excited about that. Super excited the fact that the season's starting, and, you know, we'll get past all these cuts. I don't think there's going to be, you know, there's, it really isn't going to be. Austin Reiter probably might be one of the bigger surprises that comes out of this roster cutdown. I don't think nobody's going to, you know, no one's going to pick up the paper tomorrow because they stayed off the internet and see that, you know, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, let go. I just don't, when you look at their depth chart, like, I just don't think there's anybody on there that when you look at, just go, if you go onto any of the major outlets who do the depth charting, you know, whether it's ESPN or Our Lads or, you know, whatever, you know, you want to look at. I don't think there's going to be anybody in those threes and fours that somebody's going to go, what? Are you kidding me? But every other position other than Austin Reiter, I'm not going to like go, what? You know,
right.
Do it, because, you know, they're deep at the 1 and 2s. They're just deep.
I could see it. You make a great point about the Chiefs. Just simply, the roster is pretty complete. You kind of know who's in and know who's out, maybe a little bit more than other teams. Well, in that said, Joe, since we're getting a sense of their roster, last time we did this, you had a rematch of the Super Bowl, Chiefs-Eagles. You still seeing that?
Whew, I mean, listen, the odds are there, right? I mean, you can sit there and do all the brackets in your mind about who's going to win which playoff game and who's going to get home field. And, you know, you could belabor over it for hours and days and thinking about who's going to stay healthy and the Bengals and the Bills and, you know, and the Chiefs and the AFC and maybe the Jets, you know, making a run with Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, you think about what the AFC looks like, and then you look at the NFC and you got the Eagles and the 49ers, and, you know, who else could possibly be there? Is this the year the Cowboys make a run finally? Like, you have to, like, I mean, let's take all the science out of it and just do art and say, why not? Why shouldn't it be the Chiefs and Eagles in a rematch, right? I mean, when you just sit there and look at it. Now, there's, of course, a lot of things have to happen. It's going to be, you know, there's 17 games that these teams have to play and stay healthy and battle attrition and battle elements and do all those things to get themselves to January and February. But at the end of the day, just looking at it simplistically, right, I think they're the two best teams in the NFL right now, today, August 29th, as we're recording this. Why not? Why not Eagles-Chiefs rematch?
I think both teams have gotten better. I think the Chiefs were so incredibly young last year. All those rookies in the secondary, I think the Chiefs are going to be better. And I think the Chiefs will also be better at offensive line. I think Orlando Brown, you've talked, I totally buy your theory that Orlando Brown is a little bit nicked up and not at his best. I think Juwan Taylor, Donovan Smith will be upgrades there. I think they're going to be better. I think the Eagles had an amazing draft class. I think they're going to be better. That infusion of talent, you know, they were a little bit old along the defensive line. Now they have guys like Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith to help things out. Joe, I'm also curious if you have any sleepers this year. Maybe the sleepers for me, I'm looking at the AFC North. There's a couple teams. I still have the Ravens losing to the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. I think their defense has gotten better with Roquan Smith. They got better down the stretch last year, and nobody really kind of noticed because all the focus was on Lamar, who now has some nice weapons. He should hopefully be healthier. Zay Flowers has looked terrific, the rookie. They have Beckham now. But also, I think that division is really tough. I think the Browns, Deshaun Watson, knocking that rust off. I think he's they added Za'Darius Smith on the defense. I think that they've added Elijah Moore, who I like, a receiver. Tillman from Tennessee, a rookie at receiver, I like. I think he's got some weapons. The defense is still pretty good. And then I think the Steelers are a little bit of a sleeper. I think Pickens is about to break out at receiver. I think they had a really nice draft. I think Kenny Pickett's starting to find his way. Joe, any sleepers you have who might make
I mean, you bring up great points on those teams. I don't want to be repetitive. You know, let's forget about all the usual suspects, right? You know, and the Bills and the Bengals. You know, talked a little bit. I'm not ready to call the Jets a sleeper yet, so to speak. But I think it is going to be intriguing. I'm going to call them my intriguing pick to see what the Jets do and what Aaron Rodgers can do in his advanced age with a team I think that has made some good improvements, a team that has had good drafts, a team that is, you know, kind of operating I think they're gonna topple the Patriots. I'm gonna make that prediction. That'll be my little sleeper prediction. I think they're gonna outpace the Patriots this year, and I wonder what they could do against the Dolphins if Tua stays healthy. I think that changes a lot for the Dolphins. But I'm very intrigued by what the Jets can do, and I'm also going to be intrigued to see what Doug Peterson can do with the Jags.
Yeah, I think they're a team on the rise too.
Well, go ahead, buddy.
I was gonna say, and the Chiefs, we'll see the Jaguars early in week two. That I think that's gonna be a really good game. It's gonna be really hot in Jacksonville. Should be a barometer for the Jaguars there to see if they can, you know, make that next step. Joe, one thing I forgot to say about the Steelers, I'm so high on them not only because the Pickens connection. They had so many injuries last year. I mean, T.J. Watt's as good a defensive player as there is. Just having him fully healthy, I think, is going to make a big difference. And Patrick Peterson, they added a corner. They added Joey Porter's kid at corner from other Penn school. I don't know. State, I don't know. I'm also going to agree with Joe on an Eagles Chiefs Super Bowl rematch. You know, I initially was going to say Chiefs 49ers, but I'm a little bit leery on the 49ers. They also have the same problem the Chiefs do, that Nick Bosa, he's going to be rusty. He's a guy who's injury prone. I worry about his not having a training camp, if that's going to lead to an injury or at least some rust going forward. And I'm really confused. I think initially I was looking at the Niners. This is a team. I was looking at the win total on Vegas. I'm like, this is a team I would want to go to Bet Online and bet the over of. Let me check here. I think they were 10.5. I'm like, you know what? They have a secure quarterback situation. They should easily win 11 games, if not more. But now I think their quarterback situation is not so secure. Everyone knows about how they traded Trey Lance away. And if I were the 49ers, I wouldn't have done that, considering how many injuries they've had. They're just getting decimated at the quarterback position the last several years. I get it. Brock Purdy was undefeated in regular season games in which he started. He looks like the future. He was a great value. He was a guy as crazy and as poor a selection as Trey Lance was trading all that draft capital for him. Brock Purdy kind of mitigated the damage of that, because when you can get the last overall pick, Mr. Relevant, to be that good, well, that's great value. And it helps to mitigate that error. Anyhow, what I'm getting at is the Niners have had so many injuries over the last several years at the quarterback position. I would have kept Trey Lance as insurance because, you know, Brock Purdy, he looked so good last year. He's coming back from major elbow surgery. Who knows how he's going to come back from that. Sam Darnold, you know, is a solid backup guy. But again, why not just keep Lance? Given all the quarterback injuries you've had, he's on a rookie deal, so not super expensive. I would have just kept him as insurance, at least for this year. Well, anyhow, we're both predicting Chiefs, Eagles, Super Bowls. We're going to have more as we get ready for the opening game against the Lions. Well, if you enjoy this show presented by Bet Online, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Luminary, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Go Chiefs!